Now today I'm going to talk about covenant protection, the 91st Psalm primarily. We'll just get into it as far as we can. I've been thrilled by the testimonies that we've heard of people that have been delivered, and I know Ken spoke to you about the three different kinds of people. And I don't know if he told you about the one woman that was so exciting to me. She could be here today. She said, "I wake up every morning and I say, this is the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it." We're going to talk about the 91st Psalm today. And that is the kind of person you want to be. That's the kind of person that gets protected. That's the kind of person that sits in the refuge of the Most High for deliverance, supernatural deliverance. She says, I do that every day. She gets up with the Lord on her mind, and she says things to the Lord. That's what we do. Ken and I do that, and you need to do that. Let your first words be things to the Lord, from the Lord. Ken has started in the last few months saying, this is my receiving day. Thank you, Lord. I mean, don't wake up with fear on your lips. Wake up with the Word of God and God and His greatness and His bigness and His goodness toward you. Hallelujah. So this woman then went to her job at the World Trade Center. And she was in the second building. So when the first building was hit, they brought all those, the way I understand it, Dan, you can correct me if I have anything wrong. They brought people to a certain area for a little while. And then they said to them, it's okay now, everything's under control, you can go back to your offices. So I think she was maybe on about somewhere in the 80th floor. And so she said, I was not thinking about, of course at that time, you know, we had no information much, they didn't know what it was. And she said, I wasn't thinking about, now do I want to do that? Do I want to go back upstairs or do I want to get out of here? She said, I wasn't even having that thought. That hadn't even occurred to me. But as she went to the elevator, she heard the Lord say, get out of here now and take as many people as you can with you. And so she just started hollering at people and saying, we've got to get out of here. Now everybody else was, they were mostly going up, you know, back to their offices. The voice of authority come and said, everything's okay. You can go back up there. But this little woman started hollering what the Lord said. And she took a lot of people with her. A lot of people with her. And where she was right in the area where that second plane hit. But she said, I wasn't thinking about it. I was just going to do what I was told. And then the Lord spoke. How many of you know it's life and death to hear the Lord talk to you and give you direction? And so she took a lot of people with her. Another girl had said that I saw that. She said, most everybody went back to their offices. And she said, but I knew I had to get out of there. And she said they went back to their office to get their purse or just to go back or whatever. But she said, I knew I had to get out of there. She said probably 75% of the people went back. But see, the people that would listen. Now, Ken said God speaks to everyone. Yes. Now, this second woman I'm talking about, she didn't say anything about being a Christian. But she just, something just came on her that she had to get out. Whereas the others went ahead. Now, the thing is, if you live your life not listening to God in everyday things, you're not going to hear Him in the emergency things. He might speak to you to do something, but you won't, you know, you're not accustomed to listening, so you don't pay any attention. But you get to where you live your life on the Word of God, and you do what God says in the Word in a daily. I mean, just, you walk by love, you forgive, you overlook, you fret not just because the Word says that, and you live your life like that. When you get faced with an emergency situation, God will deliver you. You'll hear Him. You'll hear what He says. But you can't wait and live your life in the darkness, ignoring God, ignoring His ways, not giving Him any honor. And you can find this in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Not giving Him any honor and then expect supernaturally to hear from heaven all of a sudden. When you hadn't even been paying any attention to anything God said anywhere in your life. Now, that's not living in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. So we need to be aware that God, He's for deliverance, but what He tells us has to be received. So the best thing we can do and the most secure place we can live in this earth is right in here, doing what God says about the little things in life as well as the big things. And when the pressure's on, whether it's recession, depression, whether it's calamity, whatever it is, when trouble comes, we've got a place to go. We've got words of our deliverance and our protection that we have sown into our heart, that we have put into our mouth in the good times. So that the first thing you ought to think about when trouble comes your way is a scripture, portion of scripture like the 91st Psalm. Now you get that way by doing it every day. This is the same way you learn to read and write. You didn't learn to read and write in the day, but you just kept on, and now you can just write your name without even thinking about it. Because it's part of you. And that's the way we are to be with the Word of God. Covenant protection is covenant salvation, and the word salvation covers every area of our lives. Now, we're centering up today, not on the financial area, but you can find finances in your covenant salvation. Here's what the word salvation means. It means deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from whatever you need delivering from. Deliverance. Deliverance from evil, lack, sickness, disease, strife, depression, whatever it is, calamity. It means preservation. Part of your covenant salvation is that God will preserve you in a time of trouble and in a time of peace. Preserve you. Material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. So that's fear and the things around you, the things that you have, natural things. Material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. We're delivered from danger and we are delivered from the fear of danger. Glory to God. We are delivered from fear. Thank God. Ken's been teaching that in this meeting, and he'll continue to do so. But we're free. That's part of our covenant blessing, is that we don't have to live in fear. In fact, the Word says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A mind filled with fear is not a sound mind. It's not enjoying. A mind filled with fear is not enjoying its deliverance and salvation from danger and apprehension. It means pardon. It means restoration, healing, wholeness. So there's the healing of your body. Healing, wholeness, soundness. If we had time, we'd look up peace, shalom, in the Old Covenant. And it's just about the same. They both mean the same thing. So it's every area of your life, and you could just say soundness. Soundness would be a good word. Wholeness would be a good word in every area of your life. That's what your salvation includes. How did you get your salvation? You made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you were born into Him, and you became a joint heir with Him, and you got in on His deal. Hallelujah. He became your Lord and your Savior. Savior from what? Savior from sin, Savior from death, Savior from anything that you need saving from. Hallelujah. We have a Savior. Thank the Lord. And in times of trouble, you can call His name, and you've just prayed the 91st Psalm if you've called it in faith. Hallelujah. You've just prayed your deliverance. Jesus. Just one word of Jesus in faith, not in slang, not in as the world uses Jesus or the world uses the word God, but in honor and reverence and faith. You call upon Him and He's there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In fact, He never leaves us or forsakes us, but we have to receive our deliverance in every area. See, these things are not automatic. Healing's not automatic. The new birth wasn't automatic. You had to hear about Jesus being your Savior. You had to hear, and then you had to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, and a miracle happened on the inside of you. But it wasn't automatic. You had to act on it. You had to receive it into your life. Well, the same thing is true of healing. Healing belongs to you. Jesus bore your sickness, carried your diseases on the cross when He bore your sins. But you had to receive healing by faith, by hearing about it. That's how faith comes. You had to hear that Jesus bore your sicknesses. You had to hear that it was God's will for you to be healed. And when you received it and you acted on it and you wouldn't let go of it, but you stood for it in faith, healing happened. but it wasn't automatic. Righteousness, the Bible says, has come upon all men. But all men have not received righteousness, have they? No, but some of us have. But it wasn't automatic. Jesus bought our deliverance in every area, but every area has to be found out about in the Word of God. It has to be put in our eyes, in our ears, get down in our heart where faith can come out to receive it. Amen. The same way is true of your protection. We have so many words. I'm going to do this during the whole convention so I can get through it. Probably I wouldn't be able to do it in a convention, but I can get further along. But there's so many words about our salvation protection. Hallelujah. Covenant protection. The scripture in Psalm 3:8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. All these things that we just read, deliverance, preservation, deliverance from danger and apprehension, pardon, wholeness, soundness, all those things come from the Lord. Hallelujah. It belongs. Salvation, our salvation belongs to the Lord. The Lord has said to us in the Word of God, I will see to you. I will bless you going in and coming out. I will see to it that no enemy can stand before you. I will see to it that you live a long life and go satisfied when you leave here. He's saying, salvation belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And He gives it to His people. It says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon His people. Now, in Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, it's just been talking about the ministering spirits that minister for the heirs of salvation. And it says that we have so great a salvation. Let's just look at that for a moment. Our salvation is so magnificent, so great, so encompassing, that nothing is left out. Hebrews 2, I think I'll read it in King James. Glory to God. It says about that. Well, let's look at 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? This is chapter 1. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. The angels have been sent to be sure that the heirs are saved in every situation. All those different kinds of situations. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, we're specifically talking about our protection today, and we have to continue to give heed to the Word of God so that we don't let it slip, so that we don't let fear misplace our faith in God where our covenant salvation and protection is concerned. We're surrounded by fear. If you can't watch the news without being in fear, don't watch the news. I mean, I can do it. It doesn't bother me because I know more than the news knows. I know something that's higher than the news. I know that God has already prearranged my destiny and my life and everything that has to do with my life and my family. I know I have a covenant with God of protection. You know, it doesn't bother me. If I see something on there that I'll just react, respond, and say words that say, I'm not having that. We had a wonderful meeting with Keith Moore. He was talking about the authority of the believer and different things, love, walking in love. And he was saying to us that when things come up in your life, and that's not like it ought to be, like, for instance, we're going into a recession or depression, or you're going to get laid off or this or that or the other. When you hear things like that from any direction, the news or anywhere else, he said, say this, no, I'm not having it that way. So he had us practice. No, I'm not having it that way. That's what you have to say. When the devil comes and tells you you're going to die, somebody's going to take you out on the interstate, somebody's going to do this to you or do that to you, you say, no, I'm not having it that way. You're taking your authority. You're saying, no, I'm not receiving the words of fear. I'm not taking fear into my life and into my mind. They say, you're going to get laid off. You say, no, I'm not having it that way. You could say, I might quit, but I'm not going to be laid off. No. You got that? I wrote it down. No, I'm not having it that way. I've been saying that. No, I'm not having it that way. I tell you, I got hold of that when Keith was talking about it. That's good. You use that. You hear something on the news that would like to shake you up, you say, no, I'm not having that. My family is under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So deliverance, it says in Hebrews, we have a great salvation. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Don't let the things that you know about your protection and your life and your prosperity slip at times like these, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's not what you know last week, not last year, not what you've heard before, not what you agree to. It's what you actually are doing today that brings you deliverance. And the Amplified says, we let these things drift, lest we let them drift away from us. Don't let the things of your deliverance drift away from you. And certainly in times like this, you need to double up on the Word of God. Don't give up, double up. When times get hard financially, don't give up, double up. When the thing looks bad and scary around you, don't give up, double up. Do twice as much of the Word of God. Pray twice as much. Give twice as much. Whatever it is, do it. Double it up. Don't let the devil talk you out of your deliverance. This is a time that we be bold, you know. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. We get going on the Word of God. This is not when we shrink back. I just thank God that we know the Word of God. I thank God that we know our deliverance. And if you're new in this, you can find out quick. You get tapes back there. You get tapes on faith. And if you've been around a while, you get your tapes out of the closet. Put them in your little machine. Put them in your ear and listen to them and get your Bible and be strong. Hallelujah. We have to be strong. We have to protect our family. You know, you can believe God for your whole family. What about Rahab? She laid hold of her deliverance for her family and all that they had, she said. Amen. Now, if she can do that with a red string hanging in her window, we can do it with the name of Jesus. Yes. Glory to God. We can do it with the Word of God. She was just a heathen prostitute. But she laid hold of what would bring her deliverance. And she laid hold of them and she said, this is what I want. And she had faith for it. She put that red string in the window, glory to God, that red cord. And she laid hold not just herself, but her family. And not just her family, but all that they had, hallelujah. Glory to God. When the going got tough, Rahab got going. And she lived and she was delivered, thank God. And she is in the Hall of Fame in the book of Hebrews. Her faith did it. She didn't let it slip. So it says to us, don't let these things slip or drift away. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we want to escape, we can't neglect our deliverance, our salvation, our healing. Amen. So you just be really, really, really strong on the Word of God and stay there. Listen to tapes. Listen to things. Look up the scriptures in the Bible about your deliverance and your protection. Our salvation is so magnificent that you can't find anything that's under the curse that we're not delivered from. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And thank God we have the angels to help us. Here's something that I like that I wrote that I like to repeat when I teach this. There is a place in Christ Jesus where we abide in the secret place of God's protection. We have a place. We have a room. We have a spot where we abide in the secret place of God's protection. The world knows nothing about this secret place, nor can they live there. Don't expect people out in the world to understand you. If you're acting like them, they understand you. But if you're acting like God says in the Word and you're not afraid and you've got a smile on your face and you're believing God in every area of your life and you're not down and you're not whining about stuff, they don't understand you. If they are understanding you, you're not doing it right. I'm telling you, the world's crazy. The world is crazy. For the most part, they're following the devil, and he's crazy. He has no sense of any kind about him. He's totally evil. He's corrupt. He's cursed. So people in the world that follow him, they're not going to make any sense. And if they think you're doing great and you're wonderful, you may not be doing enough. But I tell you what the world does. The people, they're people, you know. The world is made up of people. They're people. And when they get scared, if they have anybody they know that's not scared, they're going to go there and say, well, are they know anybody that knows God? How long has it been since you heard God talked about so much in this country? You know how long it's been? The Gulf War. During the Gulf War, this country talked about God. Not to the degree they are now, but to a great degree so that it was noticeable. They talked about God. They let God in. They thought he was all right. When trouble comes, people that hadn't given God the time of day, they start coming. So what do? We walk in love. We pray about them. We believe God for them. When they come to our house, we help them, don't we? Amen. We're glad they came. That's what we're here for, to be a light, bright light in a dark world. But I tell you, you got to have some light about you. You might be the only one they know that loves God. And if your light's not burning, or if you look like them, act like them, talk like them, they're not going to know to go to your house. So we have a place in Christ Jesus where we abide in the secret place of God's protection. The world knows nothing about this secret place, nor can they live there. It is a place revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is for the obedient. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Now let's start reading the 91st Psalm. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. That's where I learned it. It gives you more things in the Amplified. When I first got turned on to the Word, the Amplified Bible had just come out. I got hold of one, and I studied the Amplified Bible for years. And then when I began to speak, after a little while, I began to use the King James as well as the Amplified. But when I learned this 91st Psalm, I learned it in the Amplified Bible. And it gives you a little more insight, I think. So I'm going to look both these up and both my swords here, because either one of them works. Either one of them sharper than the two-edged sword, glory to God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Stable and fixed. He who dwells. Now, I've been reading this wonderful book that is a Jewish commentary. And actually, I just got this one on Psalms. So I just read the 91st Psalm the last day or two. In their translation, it says, whoever sits in the refuge of the Most High, he shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever sits. The Amplified says dwell. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And the King James says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. So that word dwell, you remember when Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it'll be done. I think the Amplified Bible says dwell there. It's a word that says to you, this man or woman is devoted to God. He or she's not coming in and going out. And then this Hebrew translation says, whoever sits, he's taking his seat there. Hallelujah. I just read that yesterday. That was a new insight into the sitting. I knew about the abiding. In other words, this fella not coming in and going out. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. Then when trouble comes, he runs back in there. Thank God, God is a God of mercy. But if you want to be guaranteed a safe life, you sit in that place of refuge. You abide in that place of refuge. You make that your dwelling place. How do you do that? With the words of your mouth. How do you get the words of your mouth out of your heart? How do you get your heart filled with the right thing? Through your eyes and your ears. The Word of God going into your heart will bring forth your future. No Word of God going into your heart. When trouble comes, you don't have anything to come out your mouth. Then you have to build your house in the storm. And that can be done, but it's much more difficult to build your house in the storm. Amen. If you've ever been out in a storm, you can just imagine how hard it is. I mean, you know, there might be coconuts flying by. There might be all kind of cars flying by, and you're here trying to build your house in the storm, the tornado, the hurricane's on. It's hard. It can be done, but it's hard. So what we do is we just take the Word of God and act on it before the storm hits. That's what you want to do. And if you're just now doing it, well, you can catch up fast. You can, I'll tell you, you can grow fast if you'll dedicate to it. You can grow fast in the things of God and in the spirit realm if you dedicate to it. You get tapes and you listen to them and build that into you. If you know, if you haven't been here very long, take advantage of the time you're in your car. I tell you the truth, cell phones have cut down on my tape listening. It's not been good. Turn your cell phone off and listen to the master. Get some real news, hallelujah. And talk radio, those people don't know what they're talking about, most of them. Some of them do. But now you spend your time in the Word of God and you're guaranteed this is the answer. This is the truth. So spend your life doing what counts, amen? Well, it'll make a difference when trouble comes. So we sit in the place of refuge. We dwell there. This person that's guaranteed this marvelous deliverance, he sits, he's fixed, he remains at the place of the Most High. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. No foe. Say, no foe. Can withstand the power of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. What did we say when we got born again? We said something to the effect of, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I take you as my Savior. We did something to commit to Jesus our life. Now this protection, these two things are our part. And then most of the rest of it is what God will do till you get to the end. So our part is to stay attached to God. Attach yourselves to God. Stay there. Don't be coming in and going out. Don't be on fire for a little while and then cool off. And go do other things. Forget about God. Do this, do that. No, stay attached to God. That word is a phrase that I got out of my Jewish books too. Attach yourself to Him. And stay attached. Amen. And remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. So we attach ourselves. We sit in the place of refuge. And we say it with our mouth. Lord, You're my refuge. You're my fortress. At the thought of fear, think of your refuge and your fortress. At the thought of sickness and disease coming on your body, the doctor ought not be the first one you think about. I'm not against doctors, but I'll tell you, they can't always help you. God can always help you. So God ought to be the first thing you think about when sickness and disease try. First time a symptom comes on your body, you ought not be thinking about what's in your medicine cabinet. You ought to be thinking about the name of Jesus, the fact that He is Lord and He has borne your sicknesses and carried your diseases, and you ought to say, no, I'm not having it that way. Now, I remember when we didn't know any better than to be sick. And we would get sick. Symptom come on us. Well, we were Christians. We were spirit-filled Christians. But we didn't know the word. We didn't know what to do. So what would we do? Well, we'd just, hey, we'd go get our jammies on. Jump in the bed. How long are you going to be with me? But I'll tell you, when we heard about Isaiah 53, that Jesus had already borne our sickness and carried our diseases, it entirely changed our life. One word from God can change your life forever. So when symptoms of sickness and disease try to come and attach themselves to my body or to our bodies or to our, when our children were small, to their bodies, we would say, no, we're not having it that way. We'd say, no, you symptom, I bind you, I rebuke you, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, and you're not coming on me. I'm not having the flu. Glory to God. That's what you have to do. So you have to stay attached to God in that place of the Most High, where your security is and your deliverance and your salvation is, with your words and with your actions. You have to make the Lord your refuge. You have to act on that and let Him be the first thing you think about. You feed on the Word until that gets in you bigger than anything else in your life, bigger than any fear, bigger than any thought of failure, any thought of dying young. I know one instance that this young man, all of his life, he said, I'll never live to be 40. I'll never live to be 40. Now, they don't know why he said that. Why did he start saying that? Some devil put that in his brain. God didn't tell him that. God doesn't tell anybody you're not going to live to be 40. If he thought that's what you were going to do, he'd be speaking life to you, speaking words to you, like, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. No, the devil put that in that young man's mind, and all of his life he said that. Shortly before his 40th birthday, he had something come on him, and I don't remember what, but he was in a coma. And Brother Hagin says about a coma that I can turn it around if they haven't spoken words that are against me. And he says that the last words that you speak are a key to your deliverance. For instance, if you speak words of fear and death, oh my God, they're going to kill me. You said the wrong thing. You need to be saying, oh my God, you are my refuge and my fortress. And so he actually went to pray for this young man. He said, words have been spoken before this time and they cannot be reversed now. But Brother Hagin didn't know that about the young man. And so later, when he met his brothers and his mother and so on, his brother told him, I think, that he said, you know, he said that. And then later his mother said, you know, the last time I saw him, he was saying, I won't live to be 40. I'll never live to see 40. What had happened? He had built a fortress around his life of the wrong kind. He had built a fortress of death around him with his mouth. Instead of making the Lord his refuge, he had built a fortress of death around him, and he had called his future out of his heart. He believed it with all of his heart. He said it with his mouth, and even though the prophet of God had come to pray for him, he said, the Lord said, things have been done and spoken, and it cannot be reversed at this time. In other words, that man, were he not in a coma, he could have reversed it. But he was in a coma, so he couldn't do it for himself. God says about our words, he said, your words are stout against me. Our words drive God out, or they let him in. Hallelujah. So don't, you know, be aware of your words. And if you don't know about your words, get tapes on faith, because that's the way faith is released. That's the way doubt and unbelief is released. That's the way you let God into your circumstances, and that's the way you let the devil into your circumstances. So this person, he dwells and he says, the Lord is my refuge. And he does this. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Now that's our part. Our part is to abide, and our part is to say accurate words of deliverance. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Well, only in the last few weeks have I understood that. I always thought, well, now God talks about pestilence there, and he talks about pestilence in the sixth verse, and where do I want to talk about pestilence? Do I want to wait till I get the sixth verse or not? Then I discovered in the last few weeks the terror that has fallen upon people is pestilence, that he's still talking about pestilence all the way through to the sixth verse, to the seventh verse, even through the eighth verse, and other things as well. So he said, he will deliver you. Who? God, my God, will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Brother Schimbach says that's the devil. He's always the one that fouls things up. But it would be also a human being. And from the deadly pestilence. Now let me just turn over here. You don't have to turn. I'll read you what the Amplified Bible says about pestilence. Jesus is speaking here in Luke 21 about the last days. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, disturbances, disorder, and confusion, do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified. It says, don't be terrified when you hear these things, for all this must take place first, but the end will not come immediately. And then he told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be mighty and violent earthquakes, and in various places, famines. All that's happening today. Pestilences. Jesus prophesied pestilences. And now the Amplified says pestilences means this. Plagues. Plagues, malignant and contagious or infectious, epidemic diseases, which are deadly and devastating. There will be sights of terror and great signs from heaven. I've never seen a sight of terror like that second airplane going into that building. And I actually was watching that morning when the first one, the first thing came across the air, I had the news on, I saw it. And then I continued to watch it. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen a sight like that in my life. I don't like these kind of movies, but I've seen a few of them. I've never seen a movie like that. I mean, I've missed a lot of that trash. You know, I don't really care about things being blown up, and I hate science fiction stuff. I mean, there's enough stuff right here to think about without dreaming all that up. And so I've missed a lot of the movies, so somebody might have done that before in a movie, but I tell you, it reminded me of a bad movie. That was a sight of terror. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And then it says, but what I've turned over there to say was pestilences, plagues, malignant and contagious or infectious epidemic diseases. You could say AIDS would fall into that. All these things, all these biological warfare things could fall into that, which are deadly and devastating. And this says, you will be delivered from the deadly pestilence. That would be the pestilence that will kill you. You will be delivered from it if you abide in the secret place of the Most High and make Him your refuge. Hallelujah. The Lord is my refuge. He is my sitting place. He is my resting place. He is the reason that I'm not afraid. Then He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. When you say of the Lord, when you make Him your refuge, even though the deadly pestilence is there, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you find refuge. This Jewish book said about that. It talked about how a bird uses its feathers, its wings, to shelter its young or to fly it to safety. Glory to God. Under His wings, under His shadow, under His wings shall we find refuge. Under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Now we know that the truth, Jesus said, the truth will make you free. We know that the Word of God is truth. We know the Scripture says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. We know that the Word of God in our mouth is our faith, and action comes because we speak the Word of God. It gives God place in our lives. It builds our dependence upon Him regardless of what's going on around us. And in verse 4 in the Hebrew Bible, it says, beneath His wings you will be protected. Shield and armor will His truth be. Now, lately I've been thinking about this since all this has happened. And I've been thinking about the shadow of the Almighty. I've been teaching on it some. And, you know, you think about a shadow being just over the top of you. But then this refuge, it talks about, calls a place of refuge in some scriptures a tent. Well, a tent's not just here. A tent is here. It's all over you. And I've been thinking about that place of refuge is all around us. It's a shield, and they say a shield and armor. They say a shield protects its wearer incompletely, because you remember the glory of God was their rear guard. Remember that? They were protected from the back by the glory of God. you walk into the cloud of God and the presence of God, and it's not just up here, but it's here. It's all around you. So they said the word that we have, buckler, they use the word armor. Shield and armor will his truth be. It says armor is related to the Hebrew word, and they give that word, that means circle. Totally surrounds its wearer. Glory to God. The glory of God, it says, God crowned man with glory and honor. The glory of God, you ought to see yourself crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies, as Psalm 103 says. And the glory of God, the protection of God, your refuge, covers you completely. Now, here's one reason I started thinking about that. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did they come out with one ear burned? Did they have some of their hair gone off the middle of their head? Did they even smell like smoke? No, they didn't. Not one hair singed on their head, even though it was so hot that the men put them in the furnace, died from the heat being on the outside. And even though they were walking around in there, King looked down and said, didn't we put three men in there? But I see four men in there. One looks like the Son of God. What were they doing? Were they going? No, they were chilling out. They were walking around. Why was that? Because this refuge completely, totally surrounded them. And not even fire could come through that refuge. Not even the smell of smoke came on them. Now think about that when you think about pestilence. And somebody spraying something around your neighborhood. Your refuge has no holes in it. Your refuge covers you and your children. In fact, I believe it'd be over your whole house. I believe your whole house would just be encased by the glory and the power of God. This shield and buckler, this shield and armor makes a circle around you, encloses you, covers you up, leaves no gaps. No anthrax going to get on your hand. They take you in a test and there wouldn't even be anything there. John Lake, a great man of faith, and I believe this incident is in the John Lake book out there, but bubonic plague came to Africa when he was ministering there. And he and another man had to do most of the work. They had to move the corpses. They had to do this. They had to do that because everybody else would get sick. They'd catch it themselves. And so the scientists in that time asked him, well, how is it that you don't get sick? How come you can do this and not catch this plague? And so he said, well, take some of that froth, and I guess they took some off of a body, put it under the microscope, and it was just doing this, just teeming, just this virus, plague germs just going all over. He said, now put some on me. Put his hand under the microscope. They put some on him. Nothing. It died. It died. Nothing. It didn't do anything to him. You couldn't even see it on there. Why? Because the life of God was in him. And I saw something else. I had a great day yesterday. I stayed in my room all day and read. In this very book, it said that the way they saw spirit, soul, and body was they saw soul and body. And so where we would say spirit, they say soul in here. So I'm going to say it like we would say it. But they said your soul permeate. And I like this so much. I love this. This has made me happy. It says your soul permeates every part of your body. And so we would say it like this. We would say our spirit, our born-again spirit man. I haven't actually seen it quite this way before. He's not just in there, but he's spirit. And they were talking about in this portion of scripture about God's spirit containing himself in the tabernacle. How could God, who is everywhere, permeates every place of air in the world, how could he contain himself? They said he had the ability to contain himself in this area, this tabernacle. Which, what is our tabernacle? This body, the book of 2 Corinthians says, this body is a tabernacle for our spirit. So what that said to me is my spirit permeates every part of my being. And I've heard Ken say this, the Holy Ghost, you receive the Holy Ghost and you become wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. So my spirit filled with the Holy Spirit permeates every part of my body. He's not just here in my heart. My spirit, my born-again spirit's not just here in my heart. It's everywhere I am. Glory to God. The Spirit of God indwelling my born-again spirit. And if you haven't received the Spirit of God, you have to. Not up for discussion. It permeates my spirit. My spirit permeates my body. Now I'm telling you, it's protection. It's the glory. We're crowned with glory and honor, the scripture says in Psalm 8. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can find that in this book. The soul, which is a fragment of God. So the born-again spirit, we know that, is of God. We are, when we're born again, we are born of God. And He puts Himself into us, and the Bible teaches us that we are in the image. His image is in us. It resembles Him. The Spirit permeates, I'm going to say spirit instead of soul, the Spirit permeates every fiber of the body, just as God's presence permeates the world. So your protection, when you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, doesn't have to drop down on you, even. It's there from the inside out. You carry it everywhere you go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you lay hold of it. Now, you can't lay hold of it and live in fear and doubt. You lay hold of it by believing words like this 91st Psalm. Your spirit permeates your whole body. Now, think of that in the area of healing. Sickness and disease tries to come on your body. A plague germ, an anthrax spore tries to come on you. What happens? It meets up with the power of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Now, we're still talking about the pestilence as well as anything else, any other thing. They said something interesting about that. It says in verse 5, if you put your faith in God, fear will be banished from your heart. See, you can't replace fear with anything but faith and make it work. Because there's not anything that'll do away with fear in your life except believing God and what He says in the Word of God. It's a supernatural faith that comes to you by hearing the Word of God. And it says, men in this era that flies by day, they say, their description or their translation says, you shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in gloom, nor the destroyer that lays waste at noon. Man is most vulnerable to the sudden tragedies and misfortunes that fly at him without warning, like swift arrows. That's what it says that means, the arrows that fly by day. Now, that's what happened to our friends in New York. I mean, there was no warning. It was there. Whatever, you know, God did everything that He could do. But words had been said, no doubt, and lots of lives that were stout against Him. But then words had been said in lots of lives that were for Him. Like the little woman that woke up and said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. Where are you going to put your allegiance? What are you going to do? Are you going to keep living like natural people that live out there in the dark and don't have this kind of protection available to them? Or are you going to get busy and put this word in your mouth and keep it there and not allow fear to come close to you? Amen. Glory to God. So, let's see what it says here. You'll not be afraid. Not be afraid. What does that mean? No fear. You shall not be afraid. You look at the Bible, and when God gets ready to do something in the earth, He generally has to tell somebody, don't be afraid. Jesus had to tell Jairus, don't be afraid. They said, your daughter's dead. You read it in the Amplified, and you see it's like immediately He said before Jairus could say anything else. Jesus said, don't be afraid. They said, Jairus, don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead. And it says, like immediately, Jesus said, don't be afraid. only believe. Glory to God. He had to have Jairus' faith still working. Jairus had said with his mouth, "You come lay your hand on my daughter, and she shall live." What was he saying to death? "I'm not having it that way." And so Jesus wanted to keep his faith going. And he said, "Don't say anything. Only believe. Don't give in to fear," in other words. "Don't be afraid. Don't give in to fear. Only believe." And so, you know that the daughter was raised from the dead. So this is sudden death. It says in the Amplified, "Destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. Do not be afraid. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Now I'm telling you, that's a pretty bad day right there. You got 11,000 people dead around you and you're the only one left. Could that be? Absolutely, it could be. I mean, if you've made the Lord your refuge, that's what would be happening to you. It could be a plague that took out 11,000 people. It could be a bomb. It could be a disaster of any kind. It could be a storm. But if you're standing on the Word of God and you're in the secret place of the Most High, you're going to be standing there when nobody else is left. God can protect one person in 11,000 people. He can protect a family in a whole city, go down the tube. He can protect a city with everybody else in the nation gone. He can protect a nation with the whole world in trouble. God's got the wonderful ability to protect you wherever you are and whatever you're doing. But He's got to have your faith. He's got to have your opening. You got to let God do things. See, God doesn't do things on His own. He's not like the devil. He won't push His way into your life and make you do certain things. If you want Him to be your refuge, you got to say it with your mouth and make Him your refuge. And then you've got to abide in Him and do what He says and follow His plan and walk in His ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you'll do that, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Now the wicked in the scripture, I don't know if this one does exactly, I haven't checked it up in the Hebrew, but wicked is generally lawless, as you witness the reward of the lawless. Who would the lawless be? Those that don't give God any honor in their lives. Those that have no fear of God. There are wonderful scriptures available for the one who walks in the fear of God. What does that mean? You walk in the reverence of God. You honor Him enough in your life to do what He says to do. Now that person is in this 91st Psalm. The one that honors God. He's the one that sits in the place of refuge. If you just know what you ought to do but don't do it, you're not walking in the fear of God. The person who walks in the fear of God actually does what God says. Amen. And when he misses it, he repents and gets it straight, turns himself around, gets it right. Hallelujah. Thank God we can repent. And God will forgive us as though sin had never been. Only a spectator shall you be. You're inaccessible. Inaccessible. That secret place that nothing can touch. That place where you're surrounded by God in the tent. His pavilion, the scripture says. Hallelujah. As you witness the reward of the wicked. Here's why. Oh, lawless. I was to that. Okay, lawless. Now, if you're going to be lawless, you're not going to get the reward of the one who sits in the secret place of the Most High. I mean, if you're going to go just live your life crazy and doing what the world lives, taking drugs, feeding on pornography, alcohol, all the things that you know are not right to do, you're going to fall into the category of the lawless. "Yeah, but I'm a born-again Christian." Well, yeah, act like a born-again Christian. Do what born-again Christians do. They're not lawless. If we're born-again Christians, we ought to be walking the ways of God. And if we want divine protection, that's where we're going to have to walk. If we're the lawless, and we've been sowing lawless seeds, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man, that includes born again or heathen, either one. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow into your life fear of God, obedience of God, following after God, loving God, doing the things of God, listening to God, going to the effort to put this word in your heart, hallelujah. And you're going to be inaccessible to the horrors and the things that are going on in the world. I mean, we never dreamed anything like this would happen. We don't really know what all is going to happen before Jesus returns. I know we'll be pulled out of here before the worst comes, but I don't know how bad it'll get before the worst comes. I don't know what... I think that was pretty bad. I wouldn't know where to draw that line, what to expect. We don't know. But it doesn't matter what comes if we're in this place, sitting in the refuge of the Most High God. Thank God. Here's my point. If you are doing lawless, if you are in with the lawless, if you are acting like the lawless, you're just subject to get the same reward as the lawless. Well, yeah, but I just now found out about this. Well, thank God you just now found out about it. Thank God you know about it. You can get busy. You can make up for lost time. God, I mean, when your heart reaches out to God and you start going for Him, there's an extra amount of grace in your life when you're doing everything you know to do. It's when you know to do things and you're not doing it that you open the door of the devil. 1,000 may fall at your side. Think of that. There shall no evil. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Glory to God. Not coming near your tent. If they came up with a new plague today, it'd be covered in the 91st Psalm. I tell you, the 91st Psalm is so supernatural. You know, I used to think about cancer and AIDS when you'd read those plagues and things. And then I thought about military people and their believing God in the military when they could have had chemical warfare and so on. But only in recent weeks has it become where you'd think seriously about it in any of the air you might breathe here in the United States. And yet, the 91st Psalm has it covered. Hallelujah. It has everything covered that man, every diabolical thing, every diabolical weapon that man can come up with, it's covered in the 91st Psalm. What a supernatural book this is. This says, because you made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil, say no evil, there shall no evil befall you. Say, no evil shall befall me.
No evil shall befall me.
Because I make the Lord God my refuge.
I make the Lord God my refuge.
And I sit in the place of the Most High's dwelling.
And I sit in the place of the Most High's dwelling.
I take my place there.
I take my place there.
No evil shall befall me.
No evil shall befall me.
Nor any plague or calamity. Come near your tent. Now see that? That I hadn't thought about that until right then. But there's a scripture you can stand on for your whole house. If your neighborhood was to get sprayed with anthrax or smallpox or whatever devil thing can come up, this says it won't come near your tent. It won't come near your house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like that. There's something we can stand on that our house, our whole house would be sheltered. Not just our bodies, but our whole house. There won't be any plague on your sofa. Nothing on your carpet. No plague on your dishes. Our whole house, it won't come near our house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good. I just take that, Lord. My whole house is delivered. It won't even come close, according to this. It won't come close to your house. For he, here's why, he will give his angels charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of service and obedience. Bless the Lord. The angels, we've got the angels of God. Oh, my. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Tread upon poisonous things. Glory to God. Because, this is our part, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Set your whole heart upon God. Get in that word. Get that word in you. Become what everybody calls a fanatic. Oh, that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, they're just fanatical about things. Yes, that's right. We are fanatics. Hallelujah. But no plague is coming near my tent. No plague's coming near my house. Glory to God. And we are. If people say that, don't feel bad about it. We are absolutely fanatical about this. We want to live by the Word of God. We want to live by the Word of God. We want to stay alive by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we believe it and we act on it. They shall bear you up on their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, because we set our love and affection upon him, therefore I will deliver him. This is God's talking about what we've done. Our part is we abide, we say, we set our love upon him. Here's what God does. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. That scripture in John 15 calls it being vitally united to the Lord, attached to the Lord. Vitally united to the Lord. He trusts and relies on me knowing. This person knows something. He knows God. He knows his goodness. He knows you can trust him. How well you say, well, you know, I want to, but I just don't have that knowing. Well, you just haven't been in the Word enough. Just start doing double duty, triple duty in the Word of God. Feed your heart with the Word of God. It'll get in there. That's how you get faith. That's what faith is believing what God says. And the way you get faith, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so anybody can have strong faith. It just takes time and dedication, and you can find that in Proverbs 4, 20 through 21 or 2. He shall call upon me. He who trusts and relies upon me, knowing, this man knows, he trusts, I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. God says, I will be with him in trouble. Didn't say you wouldn't have any trouble. Says, I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. One translation says, glorify him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life. Not God's will for you to die young. Not God's will for you to die with anthrax, smallpox, bubonic plague, young or old. Not God's will for you to die of cancer. Young, it's not God's will for you to die young. His will is for you to make him your refuge, for you to sit in the place with him of protection and safety, and to live out the full number of your days. God says it's God's will for you to fulfill your days on the earth, not his will for you to die young in an accident, or by terrorists, or by sickness or disease or anything else. You ought to live 70 or 80 years. And if you're not satisfied, live a while longer. Actually, the length of time that the Scripture gives us is not 70, but it's 120. So live to be 119. And if you're not satisfied, well, live a while longer. Glory to God. With long life, will I, who says that? God. Satisfy him and show him my salvation. Show him my deliverance. Show him my protection. Show him my prosperity. Show him my healing. Show him my wholeness. Now you read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You read about the patriarchs and it says this about them. They lived a long life and they died prosperous, rich, and they died satisfied. And they went to be with their fathers. What a plan. What a plan. Live a long, rich, healthy, protected life. And then get out of here and go somewhere better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for our deliverance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This belongs to us in God. Hallelujah. For this we were born into the kingdom of God, that we might do all those things, live out the full number of our days, be prosperous, be blessed, walk and talk with God, be healed, be protected, live without fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. What is a sound mind? A sound mind, the only sound mind you can have is a mind that's been renewed with the Word of God. To believe and to hold and to enjoy the things that God has promised us. Stand up and let's pray. Father, we love you. We believe it, Lord. We believe it. We receive it. Say, I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
The Most High is my dwelling place.
The Most High is my dwelling place.
I make Him my refuge.
I make Him my refuge.
He is my fortress.
He is my fortress.
On Him I lean and rely.
On Him I lean and rely.
And in Him I confidently trust.
In Him I confidently trust.
He shall deliver me.
From the pestilence.
His angels encamp round about me.
To deliver me.
To see that I don't dash my foot against a stone. No pestilence comes near my tent.
No pestilence comes near my house.
I am seated with the Most High.
I run into Him.
I live there.
I have refuge.
I'm protected.
I have no fear.
I believe God.
He is my keeper.
My refuge.
My deliverer.
I'm sound.
I can walk free.
Because of Him.
I attach myself to God.
I give myself to Him.
I give my words to Him.
My life to Him. Everything that I have.
Good in my life.
Has come from God.
I am blessed.
I am blessed. When the curse tries to come my way, calamity, danger, pestilence, sickness and disease,
fear,
lack, I say this. No! I'm not having it that way! Glory to God! Hallelujah! To God be the glory! To God be the glory! Hallelujah! Bless the Lord! To God be the glory! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! I'm a delivered person! Hallelujah!
The preceding message is copyright 2020 by Eagle Mountain International Church Incorporated and Kenneth Copeland Ministries and may not be duplicated for any commercial use. Non-commercial distribution to a reasonable amount of friends for the purpose of sharing the gospel is allowed with the restriction that this oral notice must stay a part of the message. Additional information about Kenneth Copeland Ministries, including additional media products, may be obtained by visiting our website at kcm.org.